Alright, calling the meeting to order. Do a roll call. Ann?
Here.
Liz?
Yeah.
Erica?
Here.
Bruce?
Here.
Chrissy?
Here.
Here.
I was going to say Futrell.
You can say that too. You can call me anything you want.
Alright. I'm going to call my head Futrell.
As we all know, Gussie's upstairs.
Yeah, Gussie's upstairs. I'd like to take a minute of silence for Judy King's mom. Approval for the minutes from the July 10th, 2017 council meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Approval of the minutes from the July 19th, 2017 meeting.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. All right, next up is a resolution authorizing a one-year contract for Leadership Council, Southwest Illinois for Madison County Community Development and the fact sheet. Originally, it was to be a three-year contract, but we went with a one-year to try to ascertain kind of never really had any quantitative and qualitative way of measuring what we're kind of getting out of it. So that's why we limited this year to kind of see where we're at instead of signing a three-year deal for $90,000. We signed a one-year deal for $30,000. So any questions on that?
Did we recently do something else with them?
Well, we sent a payment back in
April.
Thank you. Yeah, we sent him a payment for last contract.
So maybe that's why it was so familiar. Okay.
Yeah, that's why. So familiar, yeah. This is what Rhonda Sage runs.
Okay.
So. Any further questions? If not, accept the motion.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Ann?
Yes.
Liz?
Yes.
Erica?
Yes.
Bruce?
Yes.
Chrissy?
Yes.
Futrell?
Yes.
Any public comment? Approval of reports are none. Moving on to new business, bills and purchase requests are going around.
I've got a question about the bills.
Mm-hmm.
Just out of curiosity, I see there is a signature stamp for Kristen Pichard. Does she sign that many things that she has to have a stamp?
I assume she would.
I assume she probably did, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
Especially now since she has oversight over two departments.
Okay. Just was curious.
Next, public meeting seeking comment on the fiscal year 2016 home buyer substantial amendment and the fiscal year 2017 draft annual action plan fact sheet. The 2017 annual action plan summary and fact sheet.
James, do you want to start with the 2016 home buyer?
The home buyer, we actually brought it last month. We brought the fact sheet last month just so we were moving money. We're just moving a larger money that requires a substantial amendment. And as part of that process, we have to take it to a public meeting. So if you have a chance, you guys get a chance to comment.
Do you guys have any questions about that?
The fact sheet was in your packet.
This is that new home buyer thing?
Yeah.
So we're just moving more than we thought we were going to, or?
We move more than 20% of our home, which, yeah, that requires us to do a substantial amount. We ended up moving $400,000.
Right. Sorry, that's a little confusing. And then, along with it, on Friday, at the very latest Monday, we're going to be submitting our annual action plan to HUD, which is for the $2017, and this is basically the first document of the year. Every 5 years, we do a five-year plan, and this will be the third year of that five-year plan. Then we do this, and this is telling HUD what projects we're going to use as part that piggyback to the goals back to that plan. So it ties back to that plan. And then after we do this, then we'll turn around and start doing our annual report, which tells them how we actually spent the money. So if you will see, the second page tells our goals. And that's part of that five-year plan I was telling you about. And then right under that, it has our budget. And it starts out with those competitive projects we have done. And then it talks about what the projects Madison County will do with our portion of the funds, what Alton will do with their portion of the funds, and what Granite City will do with their portion of the funds, as well as the home dollars.
So that's where this is the total budget that comes into Madison County?
For just CDBG, yes. Because also at the very last page is home as well, because these plans cover CDBG and home.
Okay, so roughly if you take the home budget out, $1 million, so there's $1.7 million that come in as CDBG funds.
Yeah, that just stay with Madison County. We manage Alton and Granite, so it's over $2 million if you add those in. $2.7 million with Granite, Alton, and Madison County.
Right.
Can you give everybody a little background on why Alton and Granite City gets?
Alton and Granite City are entitlement communities. And to get to receive entitlement status, they were at a certain threshold at one point in time of population and people with WMOD background within the community. Because of that, they also get a separate allocation, but then we have an agreement Madison County does to manage their funds for them. So as part of that agreement, we say, okay, well, this is the amount of money Alton you have, Granite you have, and then they back in the projects they feel that need to be done in their community under those dollar amounts.
When were those two communities defined or described as entitlement?
You know, they've always been, as far as I've known, Dave can, or Sharon, can you answer that? I mean,
it's been a long time.
I'm not so sure it wasn't with the original legislation to create the community development block program back in the 70s.
I mean, it's.
And it was based on population, but they've fallen under the population threshold, but Congress kind of grandfathered them in.
Yeah, and that was literally an act of Congress,
yes,
to get them.
Literally an act of Jerry Costello.
Yes.
So
yeah,
of the funds, there are some that are allocated to Alton, some that are allocated to Granite, and
yes,
then a similar sized pot that gets managed between the other six or seven communities.
You take
Madison County. There's three allocations: Granite City, Alton, and Madison County. And then of Madison County's pots, we go ahead and we give out money for the competitive funding. So that we get our grants. And we essentially sub-granted out to those competitive.
To the rest of the county.
And for Alton and Granite, they obviously take a fee because it's what
20%.
It's still 20%. Yeah, that's what I thought. 20% administrative fee.
That was that $600,000 we gave last month, right?
Yes, mm-hmm. That's exactly what it was. Yes.
But each of these both. Alton and Granite receive, like in this case, Alton will get $664,000, and then Granite gets $498,000.
Yes. It's actually, that would actually be plus 20%, but we put the their admin in our admin.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it'd be higher than, their distribution would
a
be higher.
A little bit, yes.
So that's the net number.
What?
So what's on the sheet is net.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. What they'll actually see if we put other numbers in, then there's a lot of confusion that happens. A little bit. So this is what, this is just a synopsis of what we're turning in. We do have the full draft and then this entire overdue, which is, by the time we submit it all, it's going to be a couple hundred pages. But we have the draft up until the legal documents were required to submit online right now. Then on Monday, the full kit and caboodle will be uploaded, so you can go ahead and review all of that.
And when is the due date?
Well, it's Monday. We need to go ahead and submit it, but we like to go ahead and submit it on Friday just to make sure we get all of the signature copies up to HUD when they and know that it's there when it needs to be due.
But the due date in order for us to get these CDBG funds?
It's actually the 15th.
It's the 15th.
Which is Tuesday. Next Tuesday. We always like to build in a little window, safety net, if you will.
I think we kind of are a little close.
Oh, well,
I mean, considering all well, the, everything that's going on.
Yes. Yes, we are a little close. But, I mean, it is what it is because we got our we didn't get our allocation until the end of June.
Right.
So we couldn't bring it to the grants in June, which we really, really hoped for.
Well, I guess my point is I'm glad that we had it rectified in our last county board meeting.
Well, if we hadn't, HUD would have just said defer it until we get it in. So,
yeah.
They would have extended us.
And this fund is, for most of the newer ones, this is all ran by HUD. This is all HUD dollars. So
right. Yeah, it's all feds.
On a block grant. HUD.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in a lot of detail coming up here. I have a PowerPoint for you all for that. So, any other questions? They're all great questions. It's a hard thing to fit in like 5 pages when condensing a couple hundred page document.
Do you keep an eye on if any of the other communities in the county fall within the parameters to get their own type of funding, or is that something that they need to go after themselves?
I don't believe there are anybody within that parameters, but they would be welcome to go that way if they choose, but I don't believe we're close. Because it's a combination of both population and low-mod individuals. I think probably our closest might be Collinsville or Edwardsville.
I don't remember what the threshold was, but 45,000 population-wise?
Something around that. But so that's our closest, but they don't really have a highly high concentration of low-mod.
Right.
So I don't believe we have anybody close to meeting those triggers. So.
And that designation comes from the
yeah.
Right.
It sounded like from talk of the 600,000 that we had allocated last month that some communities consistently rank. And
yes.
So that's where I was really guiding the question to, do any of those communities that consistently rank ever meet the parameters to
no.
get their own funding?
It's because they're a lower overall
okay.
population.
Okay.
But they have a huge low-mod population.
Okay.
So yeah.
Significantly more, right? It's about 600,000 they get on their own instead of splitting.
Well, that's...
It's only two communities.
Two communities.
Alton and Granite so City
if,
are the only two that,
if
that
do that.
Venice
yeah.
or Madison would be that, but there's no way that they're even close.
Okay.
It would be based on population.
Yeah,
and every year...
Even if they, yeah.
But every year, Alton and Granite's population, or the their allocation, fluctuates.
Yeah.
Based on some magical population number, I'm not sure where they get it and how recent it is. It's probably
yeah.
about 2 or 3 years old, but yeah, so they've been kind of going
gotcha.
Down a little bit.
Okay.
So.
Well, having said all that, I think community development block grants are still on the chopping block on the federal budget. So
thanks a lot for reminding us.
Yeah. There's always the proposed budget and the real budget.
Yeah.
I believe that some of them
the same.
Been reinstated to
our current appropriation budget and markup were at the same funding level in the Senate, and $100 million reduction in the House.
It's better than nothing, right? It's better than zero.
They said they'll probably meet in the middle, so it'll probably be about a $50 million hit.
Do we have any other questions regarding this? But we'll get into the nuts and bolts of the CDBG program here in a little bit.
Any administrative reports?
Board meeting. We're just going to have a scholarship reception inviting the county board members along with the recipients up in room 309.
Is that at like 4:30 or?
At 4:30.
Well, I guess it's here. We'll have some like anjou cookie type things. Leave the names. Will they be up and announced with their scholarships? And will there be an announcement at the board meeting?
I have talked to Cynthia and was asking if the grants committee was recommending if the recipients, their names be read at the county board meeting to recognize them.
I'm told that wasn't always done in the past, so.
The last 2 years, it has not been done, and the reason why was that CSBG, because it's federal funds that come through the state of Illinois, we hadn't received our funding in August yet, and so they didn't want to make the announcement that we had awarded the scholarships until the actual funding came through. So if somebody said, well, wait a minute, you didn't fund my program, you funded theirs. They just did make a public announcement in August. So I didn't know if, since you're the chairman of the grants committee, if you would like to read the names, or I haven't, or if the chairman would like to. I've talked to Cynthia, but we just haven't nailed down
We have done the last 2 years, not two ever.
Okay.
I think we talked about that.
Will there be a presentation in
at a separate time?
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. And we will make that presentation to the recipients at 4:30. We'll do it that way. That'll be fine.
Thank you. Oh,
you're up. Any questions?
Anybody have questions for Joe? Okay.
I just wanted to come today to let you all know that we've initiated a homeless hotline in Madison County. The number listed on the flyer there. We've been taking, needless to say, a number of calls, probably averaging 40 or so a day, and we make referrals then to our emergency shelters, transitional housing, rapid rehousing, and permanent supportive housing programs around the county. This has been a very interesting experience for me, I know, because I've not dealt with really the ground floor of homelessness as much as most of the folks that have been taking these calls have. And I've been answering a lot of these phone calls and making a lot of referrals, so it is quite an eye-opener to see the extent of homelessness that we have in the county. And it's not just folks that are living on the street. We're taking calls from folks that are lost their job, fell behind on their rent, and are about to be evicted. We try to hook them up with resources, be it Land of Lincoln Legal Assistance Foundation or one of our emergency shelters in the county, in order to either stop that episode of homelessness from happening or rehouse those folks on a relatively rapid basis. And I just wanted to share this with you, and please share it far and wide. We are working to improve our system. Right now, I'm just returning phone calls as best I can rather than answering the hotline. So, doing what we can. This is something that's required of us by the federal government, by the Department of Housing and Urban Development, to initiate a coordinated entry system. There's a number of benefits that have been studied around the country. Folks don't have to call 15 different places, they call one. So it's a great benefit for them. We also are able to track and gather better data on folks because all of these intake calls are going into our homeless management information system. And so we're going to be able to better really focus our funding on the population that we're seeing presenting the most. So we're hoping that this is going to be good thing in the long run for the folks that are struggling out there in the streets. Any questions?
Great.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Hi, I'm Debbie Angleton with Employment and Training, and just wanted to pass this around. This is information. Our department is in charge this year of the Jobs Plus 17. It's a job fair at the Gateway Convention Center. We coordinate with St. Clair County and other agencies that are listed. This is a big job fair. We can have anywhere from 60 to 80 employers that will be there and actually are talking to people about job openings and what's available. So we're currently registering employers. Wanted you to see this so you could pass it on to your constituents, or if you also employers, any businesses that are out there that would like to participate. This is on the county website on employment and training. We have it posted there with the registration. It's no fee to have a table, and we would like to, you know, get as many people possible at the tables and job seekers coming in. So just wanted to give you that information. Thank you.
Any questions? Let the record show, Jesse Glasper is here now to do a roll call. Sure. We don't want to go over the slideshow.
All right. While it's all fresh in our minds, I have brought the PowerPoint about CDBG rules and then the grading criteria. So
my name's on that, but I'm not responsible for the grading criteria.
No, you're not. But you're our chairman. I can take it off for a future if you'd like. So this is specifically for the community development block grant. We're not going to cover home in this. So just to recap, for 2017, we had a total allocation of $2.6 million. We had talked earlier about a $2.7 million number, and I just wanted to be clear that included $35,000 of anticipated programming income that we're anticipating on getting on for that allocation, but the actual allocation for Madison County, Alton, and Granite was $2.6 million. $600,000, a little over goes to Alton, a little almost $500,000 goes to Granite City. So that is how we go ahead and disperse them. I just wanted to let you know in advance that when we disperse funds for anybody who has an allocation, we don't just say, okay, here's a $100,000 check, spend it as you will. We get in pay requests from engineers that are signed off by the engineer, the city, and the contractor, and they have to be for the project, and everything has to be kosher and whatnot before we'll distribute funds. And then in that case, we distribute it directly to the contractor or engineer, depending on what the case is. So, just the national objectives for CDBG are low-mod area, low-mod clientele, low-mod housing, and low-mod jobs. Those are our focus areas. For when we're talking about the actual competitive funding round, we focused on the low-mod area. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but we get that through the U.S. Census mainly. And to determine what low-mod is, for an area, it's 51% or more of the service area has to be low-mod. Or if it's a job or a client or household, then we go by the 80% of the area of median income. We can also use CDBG funds for the removal or elimination of slum and blight, and we do that often through our demolition program. We could use money for CDBG for urgent need, but we don't currently do that because it's really complicated, because if that would be for like a tornado or something like that in our area, or a hurricane, but we don't do that because it's basically holding money for something we may need and never use, A, and then B, if there was a nationally declared disaster area, we couldn't use these funds then, because that would eliminate it. And if you remember the flooding that we had a couple Decembers ago, HUD was like, well, are you going to spend the money, are you going to spend the money, are you going to spend the money? And we never actually got any requests for any of our money, but had we have done it, and then it would have been declared a disaster area, then we would have had to repay the money to HUD. And they don't really quickly always declare a disaster area. So the key documents, and I talked about this before, is the first one we start with is our 5-year consolidated plan, where the third year, it runs from 2015 to 2019, then our actual action plan. We're currently running on the 26th action plan because our fiscal year doesn't start until October 1st. And then our CAPR, and that is our report card to HUD on what we've done and how we've spent our money. This is a rough timeline, and if you guys have color copies within your packet, these are this year's dates, and they might be highlighted. And the reason for that is we don't know when we're necessarily going to start this year due to when the allocation might come up. So that might be a future conversation. And then the entitlements. I know this was a big topic last year. So we are an entitlement county. And in order to get to that status, we have to have a population of 200,000 people or more to get there. And we have that. And with a high concentration of low moderate income areas, we have pockets throughout the county. And just so you know, Madison County and St. Clair County are the only entitlement counties that are south of the Chicago and Ocala counties. If we were not an entitlement county, to get these CDBG funds, we would have to submit to a competitive pool to the state of Illinois. So every 3 years we ask the communities if they want to participate. They can opt out if they don't want to, but if they opt out, they can't come to us for funding. They'd have to go to the state of Illinois to get funding. So these are our current goals that we had talked about providing funding for. These are the categories that we can provide funding for under, and that was in also on the fact sheet for the action plan.
Just as an example, the second bullet point, Alton uses a lot of their funding for demolition.
Right, and so does Grand City, and then
you see an empty lot in Alton, that's a pretty good chance that it may have been
yeah, but that brings up a good
empty
point.
By the demolition program.
We can only use 15% of our annual budget
for demolition.
For slum, to eliminate slum and blight. So when we budget, we have to look at a lot of different scenarios. So we have to add up Alton, Granite, and Madison County to make sure we're not over that 15% threshold.
And to provide youth services, I actually spent a summer running a park program in Alton, and our funding came through the community development.
I didn't know that. But yes, it does come through, but I didn't know you ran it.
Oh, that was a long time. Long time. I'm still young back then.
These are more of our goals, and some, please remember this is a joint, our five-year plan and our one-year plan is a joint home document as well as a joint CDBG document. So some of them, they are our home projects as well. But that's where I indicated home. The rest can be CDBG or home.
And if I continue giving examples more for the folks who are new to all of this, mm-hmm. we partnered with the Alton Housing Authority and built five homes through the home program.
Right.
Yeah. I think and you guys paid for two, right?
Yeah, I mean, two. We paid for two homes from the Alton Housing Authority. I'm not sure.
Two of the five.
Yep, you got a good memory. So we can also use funding for economic development. We currently have a goal there, but we're not funding anything right now because it's really hard to fund a good project. You prove economic development's eligibility after you spend the money, and if you're not for certain that you're going to make it eligible, you have to repay the money. So we kind of shy away from that unless we have a really solid project. So.
And aren't there a lot of programs? Doesn't the Small Business Development Center at SIU do a lot with the startups in the area?
Yes.
The SBA.
I don't know if it's the same dollars we're talking
but it's
about.
It's housed out at the university.
One of the last
but
things we did, we helped that
it's
mulch
not, it's kind of like the STEM Center.
Consolidate yes. their operations out of Godfrey on the old Owens project, Owens property.
That was a community services block grant.
Okay. Different
years ago.
Different.
Was it had. Well, we no longer have that funding out of our grant anymore.
So these are the key, these are the entitlements, and we're currently going through the requalification. Well, actually, we're done with the requalification process, but we were going through it when I wrote this. And we talked about people opting in and out. Collinsville, Madison, Pierron, they all sit on the borders between Madison County and another county. They have all opted in. The only one who opted all out was Fairmont City, and they opted all into St. Clair County. So, and they have evidently, from what I see, they've done that for years.
So just out of curiosity, yeah. So when you say the requalification process, so you look at all the criteria for the entitlement?
Yes, and we have to write them all the community's letters to say, okay, do you want to go through us for funding, or do you want to try your luck and go through the state? That's mainly what we're focusing on there. So, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
And then how are we, do we choose the project? Well, first we have to do the five-year plan. We let Alton and Granite choose theirs. We don't just let them choose theirs. We make sure they're eligible. You know, so we hold the competitive process, which you know, and then over and above that, community development does a lot of rehabs and demos, the weatherization, rehab, and all of that as well. So, and then I just put in here, can y'all read that? The 2017 budget, which just so happened, it's in your fact sheets. This budget is in your fact sheet that you just looked at a little bit ago.
This one's even better.
Sorry, I mean, it's equally as small there. So.
This is his personal budget.
Because I tried to read that.
So, eligible activities, this is what we can fund. And towards the top of the list are current higher priority projects. When you get to street improvements, that goes to medium, and then senior citizen center currently are low. So then we go to ineligible activities. General maintenance is not, so like pothole replacement, just sewer cleaning is not eligible. And we can do sewer cleaning if we're doing something like lining it, because you have to clean a sewer to line a sewer. Repainting water towers, anything that's considered portable, aside from fire equipment. So like a portable generator, that wouldn't be okay. And then anything for a general government building, aside from ADA ramps, or we just found out last week, tornado siren replacement is not eligible.
But new tornado sirens.
If they, no.
No.
Only if they don't have one.
On the first time.
For the first time, right. First time tornado sirens, right. Is okay. But replacement, not okay, even if it's brand new.
Okay.
So here's the application. I shortened this. I didn't put the application criteria in there because I gave you the application. So what I figured we could do is I'll go into Word and we can actually look in it. And if you have some changes you want made, we can do it in real time. So how do we determine those project areas? We said 51% low, mod, or higher is how we get them. And we first look at the U.S. Census data that was issued in 2010. We didn't get it until about 2013. Not kidding. And we look to see if they're 51% low mod income or higher. There are some communities that are low or under that 51%, but you look at them, and Eagle Park was a great, the best example I can think of. They were in 2000 one of the highest, most concentrated areas of low mod in Madison County. And then the census came out and they were like 40-something%. Well, we worked together as a community, and Gussie was really instrumental in that. And guess what? We resurveyed, and guess what? They're in the 80 percentile again. And so we can, if your community, you feel your community is a low mod income area, we can work together with that community and do an income survey. Now, saying that, you have to work hard, because how many you have to survey? So say we have to survey 100 people, we have to have 75% of those people respond. And then of those 75% that responded, 51% or more have to be low mod income. And it's doable, because we did in Eagle Park.
Yeah.
So
it was like pulling teeth for some of them. You know, some people just don't want to give you the info.
But it's also about finding that right person, right, in the community that can help us, that really knows everybody. Right. So, and then, and this computer doesn't have, well, at the moment, I can't get you over to show you the maps, but we do have all our maps and our income survey data online. And this is the box that pops up. And if you go to see where it says 2010 census data, that's the actual data, which looks like this. Green are the ones that are income eligible, red are not. And it's like that toward through the whole Excel spreadsheet. And then under there it says, at the very bottom it says individual corporate township. And this is one of the maps. I just pulled Namioka Township. See the cross-hatched areas? Those are the areas you find where your project is. But if it's in a cross-hatched area, the likelihood of it being in a low mod income area is really high, unless we have a mistake in the map. And we think we got all the mistakes, so but you never can tell.
So for the most part, though, every board member is going to have some probably low income in their community.
No, Troy does. Troy Jarvis has none. I think Pin Oak.
Unless they do an income survey.
Right.
Everybody might have a strip.
Right.
They can do an income survey.
But as it stands, there are some, couple. Like New Douglas Township is a no.
Like, if you go out to Williamson. Williamson, according to the map right now, is not low mod at all.
But it,
they're probably 90%.
It was right. Last time. Yeah. It was low mod last time. We could, but we can't get anybody from Williamson to talk to. So if anybody knows anybody from Williamson, love to talk to them. So, yes.
But of the larger communities?
Yeah. The larger, more populated communities, really, except for Troy, and that's not the yeah. largest vote.
Yeah.
But
that gets to the discussion we had, a year or two ago about why Evansville gets money.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I didn't comment back to the population. We had some comments not this past board meeting, but the previous one last year, of why does Edwardsville get all the money, or Glen Carbon get all the money? Well, without our larger populations of our Alton, Granite, Edwardsville, Collinsville, Glen Carbon,
we're no longer entitled, can
we? We wouldn't meet the entitlement, and so can we really deny them? You know, they have low-mod income areas too.
Yeah, that goes to Ann's question. For the most part.
For the most part, no, but there are areas, and that's. I get that every time we go around.
Mm-hmm. And I think I say the same thing every time we go around, so. Yeah, so. But there are areas, like Williamson is one, Eagle Park is another, that we know, without a doubt, when you drive through there, those are some of the worst areas we've seen. But I guess they either redistricted somehow, we don't know, or we just didn't have anybody responding with their personal information on the census from that area.
That's probably
so,
it. They probably right. so they're like, bad census data.
Yeah, because in one area, you didn't get anyone out there. Benjamin? We didn't get anyone to to respond.
They wanted to come back and say, oh, hey, let's use that data.
Let's do it now.
3 years ago, and we'll compile some stuff. I'm like, no, that's not how surveys work. You have to start all over.
Right.
You didn't finish, so we can't piggyback onto it. So, and if any of you want to know what your areas are, have any problem pulling the map or the data, please just let me know. We're here to help. If I can't help you, I know James can. Sam, you feeling comfortable with that yet? Sam's feeling comfortable with it too. All right. So we just talked about how we get the data. Just so you know, if you remember, the 2010 census didn't do a breakdown of, or didn't ask any income documentation. So all of that census data is based on a survey from 2006 to 2017. So. How it is. So, income survey life, we say that we'll let them go for 5 years. Unless new census data is released, then they will not be valid anymore. I will do a cutoff of when a community can't do any income survey. They'll probably be the end of the year, just because if we don't do that, we won't have enough time to validate a survey to get it rolling for the next application deadline. If your community, if you know your community is thinking of a project, we need, the sooner we can get that information, the better. So, and just because we have a new letter that came out in January of 2014, any survey prior to 2014 we can't accept, and we haven't reached the 5-year threshold. So, yeah, we have a new validation letter of methodology from HUD. So, call me, and then Sam or James can probably help my upcoming absence with an income survey as well. So,
you said that the 2010 census did not gather income information?
No, it didn't. It didn't have any income information on it. I don't remember that. My husband filled out the form without letting me see it for the second time in a row.
Because I've been doing some research on my own. For some things I'm looking into, and I pulled some data off the census.gov or whatever it is.
But you have to read the fine line on that, because it might be coming from an actual survey that the census conducts ongoing every year.
So. I was just in Milwaukee at the HUD office for their training. They talked about that. They had there's like two separate. They got rid of the long form. They had I think it was income and a few other things that were traditionally, so that made it, they had to do the American Community Service study, and that's what they get the income off of.
And a lot of the stuff on census.gov does come from the American Community Survey, so you just have to kind of read the fine print. So just, and this is something to talk about. We have in the past, for the past, well, actually, probably since we had been at 125, probably 4 or 5 years ago was our ceiling. But we're saying our ceiling at this time for a maximum grant amount is $100,000, and the minimum application is $30,000. We have been saying that a community can apply within those parameters as many applications as they want, as long as they don't exceed $100,000 in submissions. So, I mean, if that's something you all want to address or change, I mean, we can talk about that later. And then our national, for purposes of application submissions, our primary objective is the low mod income area. So last year we started looking at it per capita on how much money is spent per person in that area, and that'll go back into the funding and the application part as well. I think that worked out pretty well for us this year. It was a lot less confusing, and it was a lot less, we felt like we were being consistent all the way through. Not that we weren't, we just, it was less question of consistency, and it was a lot easier to explain to people as well. So then the priorities, this might be something we want to ask ourselves. Do we want to keep the high priorities, sewer and water, sewer water tap-ons, fire stations, and drainage improvements? And then one thing I did notice, James and I go and drive around the projects every year, and I did notice, especially in Venice, some of the streets there look like they could, they're a little rough. Might be that we're driving around in a pickup truck, but they were a little rough. So I don't know. We've been saying that it's a medium priority for street overlays because of motor fuel, but maybe we want to look, the group wants to look at a threshold of how much motor fuel does a community get before we cut off and say that's a medium priority. I don't know. But there are some communities, I just don't know that they can afford to do the overlays.
Yeah. MFT is based off population size.
Yeah, so maybe we want to say if you're under 5,000 people or so, you could do that as a high priority. I don't know. Or we could leave it alone. If we have enough problems, I don't know. It's something to think about, but we're going to come back to it when we go through the application a little bit.
So I have a question. I mean, this is some of the things that over the course of, and I don't know how many years I've been on the committee, we prioritize and reprioritize for the newer folks who are here. I mean, is there anything on here that you would see changing, or would any of these low priorities move up or medium priorities move up? Or
personally, I don't see anything. I mean, we could, like I said, she was talking about some of the streets and stuff like that. I know some of the smaller communities, it's very hard to get a hold of money to actually do those, to do that work. And it's very expensive.
And you know, we may have been kind of taking it for granted too, because a lot of the bigger municipalities have been doing drainage projects. And you know, they may have very well started with an oil and chip road while they're doing these, but as part of the process, they also upgrade and put in their own funds, and they upgrade while they're doing everything from oil and chip to asphalt overlay. Well, I don't know that everybody can afford that as an upgrade. They might have to replace it with in kind, but it's one thing to think about as well.
So nobody, I mean, again, I think this is the basis of the criteria and the evaluation, so I would hope that everybody,
one thing
if
on that
you're not too, happy with these projects, high, medium, and low priority, now is the time to bring it up.
It is the time to bring it up, but depending on what you brought up, we need to go back and look. Yeah.
With the five-year
plan in the back, or when we did that in 2015, was that 2015? We did an income survey throughout the whole county and all the residents. If it was prioritized with the residents as low priority, we really can't reprioritize it. Mm-hmm. But if it was prioritized elsewhere, the committee can decide that they want to change it. So that's a really important point that I do need to bring out. So
I do have a question
yes.
on that then. So the fire stations,
yeah.
obviously super important.
Right.
It seems like that is potentially the one on there, at least that I'm aware of, that they are their own taxing district as well, right? Or at least is that just Glen Carbon?
Not all of them.
Not
all of it. It depends on if it's a district or a municipal fire departments. And it's a lot harder to qualify a district because we don't have really clean-cut boundaries like the census tract for the cities. And usually we end up having to do an income survey for a district. And rarely, very rarely will you see us ever fund a district. Because they're not just within a township or just within a city. I know New Douglas is New Douglas Township, plus it goes into two different counties, plus some of our townships. So, I mean, it's, yes. Does that make sense?
It does, yeah.
So when you get all the applications in, this is kind of where you start and you put the pointing based on high, medium, and low?
Yes, but we have to do it where we go. With whatever the grants committee approves as that criteria, but yes.
That's why I'm mm-hmm. trying to say for
right.
the new folks, this is really right. important because so. I can guarantee next year or 2 years down the road, people are going to be challenging this criteria. And
so
now we're all in it together.
Yeah, but we'll come back to it too in a little bit if you want to think about it too, so. And then these are some of the eligible activities, and we talked about those earlier. Ineligibles, you know, basically regular maintenance. Forced account labor, we generally try to stay away from because that is the municipality, I don't know. We had a specific example, could be like a really small town like New Douglas saying, okay, we want our street department to do these repairs. But do they really have the capacity to do it? And the time and the expertise to do it? So we generally stay away from that. So then leveraged funds is a big part of this. Last year we did spend a lot of time on this. We had done prior to last year we had done a straight $25,000 for everybody. And that was one of the things that had come out of last year's county board, that, well, you know, maybe Livingston can't afford the $25,000. So I was able to come up with a good example. We tiered it depending on the population of that municipality. We might need to tweak the numbers because the lowest is under 500. Then we go to 501 to 1,000, 1,001 to 5,000, and then 5,000 or over. I think we really just had more like number two and number four for the most part, so we might want to stagger it a little bit different. But so under that matrix.
So maybe we have three tiers or no?
Well, I mean, New Douglas and maybe Livingston fill in that first one. Oh, Grant Fork fell in that first one too. So out of $100,000, they only would have to, oops, that's me. I thought I turned that off. they would only have to leverage $1,000, whereas, like, Eversville, you would want them to, they have potentially more money.
We did.
So they would have to do $40,000. But, you know, when we're getting over in that big population, these municipalities are leveraging 2 to 3 times what they're getting anyway, so that's really not a problem for them. So, all right, and then required documentation. This is what HUD requires. We need a current fair housing resolution, certifications, resolutions to apply and to say that they will be doing fair housing within their community, and then ADA self-evaluation and transitional plan, and then citizen participation. We don't want a community doing a project that the residents are not on board with. So And then professional service procurement. We really don't have this problem anymore. Almost everybody goes ahead and pays for their own engineering at this point because they get extra points for doing that. So if they do that, they pay for their own, then I'll need, once we get word that they've been allocated the money, they'll have to have their plans to me by October 1st. So if we're paying for them, then we'll have to have the municipality do a RFQ for the engineer, and they'll have to go through the RFQ process by October 1st of that year. So, and then here's a scoring sheet, but if you don't mind, I was gonna go ahead and switch gears and go actually to the actual application. And then again, the yellow stuff is.
I think I'm going to go to the other meeting to make sure they have more.
Yeah, we have a 5 o'clock meeting.
Okay, so do we have any big areas where you guys want to focus on? Do we want to bring the application back next time and focus on the application next time?
Probably do that.
I'm so sure you don't want to have a special meeting just to look at the application.
Dude,
if Lisa's I would like to see the full board get some kind of education on this, because I think until people understand the process you go through, it's hard to. It took me years to really get to a point where I could ask good questions.
Was when we had that, we brought this similar PowerPoint last year. I think it really started clicking. So it's complicated. And even though we laid out those criteria, we can have
a tie.
We did talk about it. I know Clint and I talked about it prior, and we've come up with a couple different things, like if you got funding last year, instead of having minus 2 points, how about minus 10 points? And then another thing I was thinking, we had two people on the list last year that didn't get any money over the past 5 years. Well, if you had just a flat zero over 5 years, why not give them 10 points instead of the 5 points we were giving out?
So let me ask you this. So in each one of those, there's a caveat, right? So certain communities haven't received money, but they maybe didn't fill in their applications correctly or what was required to... But we don't hear that until after the fact.
Right.
So there's always caveats.
If we haven't had someone fill them in correctly, we tend to see they're incomplete and then they don't go further.
Right.
So
but then they come and say, I never got any money.
Right.
And then we all say, oh, they haven't got any money, let's give money. But there was a reason why.
Right. But that wasn't, we had everybody filling them in last year. So for this current year.
Are there any exemptions?
This last one, I think my understanding was Wood River.
It was 2016, not 2017. Yeah. They didn't meet, I'm going from memory here, they didn't meet the 10-day public meeting notice, so they didn't have all of their stuff together to do that. That was a couple of years ago, I believe.
Yeah, years
before
that, they left out some certifications.
But that didn't keep the grants committee from still discussing the possibility of giving them.
Well, I mean,
all those stacks weren't out.
It wasn't, they didn't have their application complete
so
by the due date.
So even if we would have said, yeah, I wonder, it would have come back and said, no.
No, I don't. I think that it's very possible that if Wood River, they didn't go through the process or fill out the applications the way they were yet, we wanted to give them money because they hadn't received it before.
We would have brought something up here. If Wood River didn't turn in the necessary items, we probably wouldn't even have brought it up here. It wouldn't even have made it.
We wouldn't have given up. This was not the, I'm not talking about this past route. I'm talking about 2016 and I think 2015 as well.
So they were eligible.
What Wood River had said is they haven't gotten money for X number of years. Well, there were a reason they didn't get it for a couple of those years. And that's where it helps the more we're involved. That's why I really would like to see the new board members, and including myself, get... I learn something new every time we go through this. And if there's some way to do a full board 101,
I think that's great, but I think we need to make sure you guys have the criteria where you want it on the application.
No question.
You want to hold the criteria.
Or a mayoral forum or something.
What?
Some type of mayoral training or forum.
Oh, no, and that's completely fine. I'd be happy to do it.
Because I know you've done that one-on-one.
Yeah,
and
well,
we do have a big workshop where they have mayors and municipalities.
Yeah, the mayors and all
they
that.
Do
you
come,
invite all of them.
They do, but we invite the county board members, but yes, in the past, right. They haven't shown up. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I think Ann showed up. He showed up.
We've been at most of them.
Well, I mean, but you had your own special odd girl performance.
All right,
we got.
Is there
any?
Oh, bills and purchases. Everybody sign.
Yes.
I get a motion. Thank you.
Second.
Ann.
Yes.
Liz.
Yes.
Erica.
Aye.
Yes.
Jane.
Yes.
Yes.
I didn't sign.
Got it.
Did we right. sign those, right?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
All right. What would everybody like to do? You want to have a special meeting on going over just the scoring sheet? Or do you want to just bring it up next time?
Well, I think we should go through the scoring
yeah.
sheet and just make sure
meeting.
We adjust pointing right. as
so
needed.
Did you want to do it in a special audience. Meeting, or did you want to do it?
It's up to the committee. I don't.
It's up to him.
You guys probably don't know.
Depends what kind of agenda you have.
Depends on what day it is.
If it's
a long
one.
Depends
on Thursday,
way.
I can't do it.
Get to it.
I don't know.
I'd say we do it during the next meeting if we can.
Okay. So we do it the next meeting. That's fine.
Dude, I don't know if I'm here or not.
Yeah.
Well, just hold it then.
I already
look on her
did you motion to adjourn?
All right. The motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. All in favor.
Okay, hold on. Who first it?
First.
James.
So and
get,
second.
And you guys do it. Okay, thank you.
Thanks, guys. Hey,
two and three do it at the same time.
Let me know in the meantime if you guys have any questions about that you'd like me to answer. I think
thank you.
This is it's the 1 year contract.
I think, so
yeah.
It seems silly that we wouldn't. So just know, I will be asking.